Lowball Spar. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
And a very, very good Tuesday. Feels like Monday morning on The Skinny on Sports. Jared Atha here. Aaron on his way. He is unwilling to give up his Labor Day weekend just yet. And now you got a little hooked up. He's going to be on in here just a little bit. Welcome to the show. Hope everybody had a wonderful and safe Labor Day weekend. It was very, very active for me and Skinny. I'm sure we'll run down what we did over the weekend, and I know Skinny did some things that I didn't do, but for the most part, we were at the same location watching somewhat the same sport. Of course, we're talking about softball and baseball. Good job over there at the Scene Home Tournament over there at the Elk City Fiveplex. It was a lot of fun, so we'll kind of break down how our weekend went. And then there's Monday. There's yesterday, where we weren't really able to do anything because of the rain and the poor weather out there. But it was nice to have the day off. It is Tuesday, but it's not Monday, so we're not going to have Jim. I know I've been thinking all day today it's Monday, so what to ask Jim? What do we talk about with Jim Traber? He's not going to be on with us today, obviously, because of the holiday. But we'll get him back next Monday. And we're really looking forward to having him in person over at Barber Dyson Ford coming up in a few weeks. That's going to be really, really cool. When that gets closer, we'll tell you all about it. You want to be a part of the show? It's really, really simple. 580-225-9698. Text on in. Call on in if you'd like. Chime in with any questions, any comments that you may have. Appreciate all the input that we get from our listeners. And, man, this past weekend I had a lot of people say they listen to the show. They love hearing the show, they love listening again on the show when they go back and listen on the podcast, but they never text in. They always give me comments, say, hey, bring that to the show. If you're listening to us live, we love to hear that stuff. We love to see that stuff on the text line. We love to get our listeners' input, 580-225-9698. Thanks again for all those kind words that we hear all the time. Of course, me and Aaron are always out and about, especially with our kids and what they're doing, and we see a lot of our great listeners. We appreciate all the kind words. A lot happened over the weekend, and I'm just assuming what we're going to talk about is going to be mainly over the weekend activities. One of the big ones, as Aaron steps in, is the college golf national. I haven't gotten a rundown. I'm just kind of going by. I think I know what you're going to talk about, but are you there?
There I am.
How are you?
It's Tuesday. It's not Monday.
I know. It feels like Monday, and it's that relief feeling it's Tuesday. It's a short week. It's awesome.
But you know what happens Tuesday around here?
Oh, you have a sales meeting.
Yes.
You had to get that stuff ready.
I had to print those reports.
Right.
I was sitting there. Yeah, I'll have to email you the rundown here at the first
break. You're fine. But was I right? Were we going to talk about a little college golf?
Yeah, that's coming up. A couple of things that happened over the weekend. Have you heard or up to date at all about the Naomi Osaka story?
You know, I followed it loosely. I'm following it loosely because I'm not a big tennis fan. I'll admit. I'm not against tennis. It's just I don't follow it. It's not sitting down to watch TV for me. But I've seen that blow up my phone from more than one outlet. So I knew it was big news, so I kind of looked into it to see what's going on here. But yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, so she has, she's the number two ranked player in the world. The French Open's going on at Roland Garros right now.
Right.
She won her first match, but before the tournament even started, she talked about how she was not going to meet with the media.
Okay.
Because of mental health issues. She talked about feeling already kind of boxed in and whatnot, so she just flat out wasn't going to do it. And that
it's like an anxiety thing,
yeah, kind of. Okay, and so you know there hasn't really been in person news conferences or talking with the media in 15 months. It's all been Zoom.
Well, we're okay, yeah. Obviously.
And so, but now it's back to the
face-to-face.
Kind of bugging her a little bit.
Now, did she have before all that, before the pandemic, before Zoom was
She says
a
it goes
thing?
Back to the U.S. Open in 2018. But when she started feeling anxiety.
Okay.
So anyhow, it's really interesting what has been the run-up to. She started the tournament, and now she is withdrawn. So I just think it's an interesting story to talk about, and it kind of overlaps, I think, a little bit with how it's being handled versus this stuff we're seeing in the NBA with fans interacting with players. The fourth incident like this happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And the coverage that each of them is getting. It's pretty interesting to me how much grief Osaka is taking from the same media that will praise and take up for these players on the NBA court. I wonder why. So, see if there's any overlap there. You mentioned the golf. Listen, this could possibly be the greatest week of Bedlam ever.
That's true.
When you think about
the
stages that Bedlam might take place on are the largest in two respective sports. And hopefully we get it. Have you seen the bracket for the softball?
Yes.
Is it possible for OU and OSU to play in the finals?
Oh, everyone's blowing up my phone. I said Labor Day.
Oh, no, it was Memorial Day, but it's neither here nor there.
Yeah. People who never text me, you text me.
Okay,
go ahead.
We need to figure out if that's possible, because it seems like in my mind, it cross brackets. And I don't know if I'm making that up in my brain or not. So what I'm saying is, like, if they both win, they'll play what, Friday night?
Yeah.
And so in that game, it seems to me like, on my recollection, that the loser of that game goes across to the other side. Which it means if they come back to make the title series, we could get a Bedlam title series. I never found a bracket.
So you're saying the loser
would go across, and then they would come back through to play the winner on the other pod or what have you.
Okay, so it would, yeah.
And so then that way they were split, because they start out on the same side right now, because it's 1-5. Anyway.
Okay. I'm trying to figure this out. I'm looking at the bracket
so
right
there's
now.
I mean, just Bedlam at the Women's College World Series would be fantastic, but a Bedlam series to finish it, and then obviously the golf is starting right now. They've just teed off out at Arizona. The match play portion, OSU played terrible yesterday. They had the tournament in control.
And I'll quickly interject. Yes, you're right.
Okay, I thought the loser was the case.
It drops down to the bottom half of the bracket, and they have to win their way up to the national title. So there is a chance, if there is a Bedlam, what it would be, quarter final Friday, that it would, the loser
goes away and then comes back through the other side.
The other way, yes.
I thought that was right.
Yes.
So you could have Bedlam softball championship series, and you could possibly have the golf the same way. Oklahoma State goes into the match play as the second seed. So they're playing seventh-seeded Vanderbilt. OU went in as the fourth seed. They're playing Illinois at number 5. So that means they're across from each other. 1-8, 4-5 on one side, 2-3, 6-7 on the other. So there's a chance that we might have Bedlam for a couple of national titles this week. That would be unbelievable if that could occur. See what you did on the weekend. I heard you talking about that. We were kind of in the same spot. Mm-hmm. And then also, what a difference a weekend makes in the city of Los Angeles.
Hmm. Where are you going there?
The difference in the feelings of those two NBA playoff series from when we left you on Friday to where we sit here on this Tuesday could not be a more drastic feel to both of those series. So 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. Get in here, talk to us, text us, call us, it doesn't matter. As you mentioned earlier, Jim's not going to be with us because this is Tuesday. It's not Monday, and I still haven't got that quite through my head. 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, you can check us out online at kadsam.com. Pull that up. Hit that Listen Live tab, play button. You'll hear Sean's voice, and then you'll hear ours.
So hang in there.
Yeah, hang in there for like 15 seconds. It'll quit. But the problem is, if it recycles, you got to hear him again. We've also got the podcast there.
Big thank you to Ace, by the way.
Yeah, thank you, Ace. podcast set up there as well. We've got a tab for it. If you missed the show, you can go back and hear it there or find us on iTunes. Skinny on Sports Facebook page is there as well. What'd you do this weekend outside of set at home while it rained yesterday?
Well, a lot of it involved going to the Fiveplex here in Elk City in the sixth annual Scene Home.
Something like that.
Softball, baseball, softball said, yeah. Tournament, and put on by the 90-Foot Foundation. And it went well. It was a lot of fun. The rain held off on Sunday. I think there was a lot of worry that it was going to just be pouring on Sunday. The good news was, I don't know if it's good news. I think, are we ready for the heat? I mean, like yesterday, I was ready for it to be hot, and I knew it wasn't going to be. But the good news was yesterday that we had a lot of cloud, or this weekend had a lot of cloud cover, and it was cool and very tolerable for not only the girls playing, but the moms and dads and fans watching, you know. So it was good. Canute girls came in third, and heck of a tournament. I mean, it was some tough competition, and, you know, not what we wanted, obviously, but we'll walk away happy with third place. It's been a lot of fun. How about you?
Sunday afternoon, it was amazing because it was cloudy. And then the sun broke out for just a little bit. And it was like the heat, like the oven got turned on.
That's
like,
exactly what I said. I looked at somebody and said, who turned on the oven?
Yes. It was just like the sun was hanging out in center field or something instead of up in the sky. But aside from that, Saturday wasn't the greatest day. But then Sunday, The little Sarah Eagles played the best baseball they've played since last summer.
So it wasn't the greatest day because the Eagles didn't.
They didn't play very good on Saturday. Well. Okay. And I think part of it in there, if we're going to make excuses for them, part of it was figuring out how to play without a couple of their better guys. And the guys that play shortstop and third base weren't just, you know, they were out on vacation or what have you, and that happens. And you had some guys at different spots trying to figure it out. And they just kind of got down and didn't play very well. But then they came back Saturday, won three games, and ended up winning the silver bracket, which the way they broke them up, there was 14 teams. The top seven from the pool play went in the gold bracket. The bottom seven went into the silver bracket, and they ended up coming through there and winning. So it was good stuff. It was, you know, it's one of those things that we all sit there as parents and talk about after the games. God, we can't hit. We can't. And you know, it wasn't the greatest hitting by any stretch of the imagination, but the thing that I liked about it was the defense looked more like the defense that they had played in the past. If you hit a ground ball, you were out. You know, if it wasn't a hit, you were out. And they made the routine. It wasn't a bunch of spectacular stuff, but got back to not having to get six outs an inning or five outs an inning. And that makes such a huge difference. And so that was the big thing. And so it was good. Played well.
Isn't it funny how when you're watching these kids, how when things don't go right, it's incredibly frustrating. And, I mean, it gets you hat-throwing mad.
I literally threw my hat down one time.
Guilty.
What is going on?
I got the look from my wife when I did that. She looked at me and said, don't act like that.
She's like, what are you doing?
I deserve that. But on the other hand, when they do the things right, it's just incredibly gratifying. You know what I mean? Just it's so awesome to see. It's crazy how it's just one end of the spectrum versus the other when stuff is good and bad, you know. I've got to learn, like, listen, they're kids. They're kids. They're literally still learning this game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, there's some stuff that you're like, wait, why didn't you do that? Why didn't you do that? God, they're 7 and 8 years old. I got to keep telling myself that in my head. But it was a fun weekend.
Yeah, it was a fun weekend. And listen,
a little disappointed. I bid on the silent auction. I didn't win.
Oh, darn it.
I kept checking on it, and I was the front runner for the longest time.
I know this. you know who had a good weekend? The city of Elk City.
I'm telling you.
It's amazing how many people come into town for that.
It's staying
the night.
It's awesome.
It's really working so far. And it was there was people from everywhere.
Yeah, I had family, an aunt from Woodward, come on down to watch Katie and on Saturday, and then we had friends. I mean, the teams they bring in, and they're not just neighboring towns; they're from all over the place.
Yeah,
Blanchard, I think, had
We had Blanchard. We had Perryton. We had Wichita Falls. Yeah. Stillwater. All in that tournament.
Yeah. A lot of people Pampa. Are familiar with the Oklahoma Athletics softball program. They had a team that I had a friend whose daughter was on. And so they from the city, and they drove out. So I got to see them. That's just cool. I mean, it's just fun to run into people I haven't seen. Ran into a guy I haven't seen since high school. Since he graduated high school. He was 3 years ahead of me, probably your class. And he's like, hey, you remember me? And I literally was like, no. And he reminded me. It's crazy. I love that stuff. Just running into people, having fun. It's a good time. Good time.
Ran into our official friend out there.
I don't think he knows what I look like.
All right, I saw him.
I need to introduce myself.
So he was taking in some softball as well.
Yeah.
Question on the text line. No, neither one of us a coach. The reason why I don't is because, well, quite frankly, I probably couldn't make it through. They'd probably kick me out of there.
Well.
Because my temperament probably isn't the best.
I
did see a dude get kicked out on the baseball side, one of the coaches.
I saw someone on the softball side.
It's always fun. He slammed his hat down at a call at the plate.
I saw someone on the softball side, and I know who he is. He's the calmest guy I've ever met, and he got kicked out. And me and his sister had a pretty good laugh at that one. Because his sister has a daughter on our team, and we were all kind of just chuckling at that one. It's pretty funny. No, coaching, no. I've helped out with T-ball. I'm not coaching this team, but my wife was kind of volunteered me, I think, for fall. I don't know. I know the head man's probably listening right now. So when we get the fall league, they might need some help. I'm more than willing to help. But as far as the head coach, no, I'll be at first base. Which is still a task. You got to let these girls know when to run, where the ball is.
No, for sure.
Get back. Go. Get there. You know, still a task. It's not like just pointing at the ball and say, okay, you're safe.
For sure. It was fun. It was a good weekend.
It was a good weekend.
I saw some really good games. The Elk City team, the Crushers, man, they had just such a good game. It just didn't work out in the end, in the last inning. But that's just it's a lot of good baseball and a lot of good softball is played out there, for sure, on a weekend-by-weekend basis.
It's really fun.
It really is.
It's really fun. We're going to do it again next weekend. We have a T-ball tournament.
This weekend?
This coming weekend, I'm sorry. Yes, this weekend. Again, it feels like
our little guys are going to Perry.
Perry.
Uh-huh.
Perry Maroons.
Perry Tournament. What a difference a weekend makes in L.A. So when we left here on Friday, the Lakers were up 2-1, or it evened the series at 1. Hang on a minute.
I think they went up 2-1.
I think they did a 2 on Thursday.
I think so.
And so they're up 2-1. The Clippers faced a must win, down 0-2, heading to Dallas on Friday night. Fast forward to today, L.A. heads back to Phoenix, the Lakers that is, tied at 2 with a hobbled Anthony Davis. He's game time decision at very best. Chris Paul came back from the dead. And all of a sudden, his shoulder is okay, and he was, you know, he just makes such a difference being out there. He doesn't have to have the greatest stats, even though he played really well in Game 4 with 18 points and nine assists. And all of a sudden, now it feels like the Lakers are the ones on the ropes. Meanwhile, over to the Clippers and the Mavs series, the Clippers fell behind big time early in Game 3. I think when I looked, it was 31-10 at one point in the first quarter.
Yeah, Luka couldn't miss.
And they came roaring back to take the lead at halftime, ended up winning Game 3, 118-108, and then they just demolished the Mavericks on Sunday, 106-81. So now all of a sudden that series is tied at 2. Heading back to L.A., and it feels like the Clippers are the team to beat in the West all of a sudden. It's just amazing how the script has flipped out in that one city with the Clippers and the Lakers and what's happened in the middle two games of those two series.
It's crazy how fast that happens. But no one's out of the woods yet when it's 2-2. But you're right. The momentum feels like it's going the Clippers' way and against the Lakers. But how big is it if, staying with the Clippers and Dallas series, how big is it if that goes to seven games for Utah? You know, Utah's up 3-1, and they look to be cruising to a series win, and then they get the weight, right? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, is that big? I mean, or and then we go back to the Oklahoma City factor of how big is it if the Clippers lose? I mean, let's say they stretch it out to seven and lose. And what are we rooting for here, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Oh, if you're a Thunder fan, you're rooting for Dallas.
All the way.
Whether or not you want to or not.
Yeah.
Because that is the possible nuclear option for the Clippers.
Yeah.
And Kawhi Leonard. Just specifically him. Because of the way that contract is structured, he has outs. And if he decides, you know what, this isn't any fun, I want to go play with my other buddy, whoever it is, then Oklahoma City owning those picks from the trade for Paul George could be immensely rich by the time this is over. And let's be honest, the Clippers, because it's the Clippers and the franchise history of what they're about, you could see it happening. If you wanted to kind of trade with a team that's good but have a chance of imploding, it would be them. Because of the history of their franchise and the star-crossed nature of it, dating all the way back to when they were in the Braves.
Yeah.
So, is it unlikely? Yes. Because right now it looks like they're going to win this series. You know, Utah, do we trust them in the playoffs? We'll find out. But it, you know, of all the years for you to be the 4 and 5 seed, this number one seeded Utah seems pretty vulnerable compared to, I don't know, Steph, Draymond, Clay, and KD. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so, you're rooting for that for sure if you're an Oklahoma City fan, wanting those picks to be as good as they could possibly be. But it's just the fickle nature of the playoffs. That's why after every game, it's so hard not to overreact to what you're seeing, but you can't. Because each game is a totally different thing because of the adjustments, you know, foul trouble here or there, injuries that pop up. It's so game by game by game. And I know you can take certain things from one to the other, but really and truly not as many as you think. Because look at Dallas. On Friday night, they lost by 10 points, and they made 19 of 40 from three. And they had been shooting 50% from the three-point line in the first three games. Then on Sunday, they drop off a 5 for 30 and get blown away.
There you go.
And so those are just the things that happen in the series. Now, you know, it felt like we had already put the finishing touches on the Clippers' grave after game two, losing the first two at home. And now it feels like it's Dallas' turn to get in there. We'll shovel dirt on top of them. So game five will be really, really interesting because none of the games have really kind of followed the same script necessarily.
Well,
Dallas shooting the three on the first three, but then it kind of fell apart and looked not nearly as capable of continuing to challenge LA as what they did, and even in the loss in game three.
Still very limited capacity in California. That doesn't lift until about...
I don't think so.
No, they're wide open.
No. I think you're right. Yeah, it doesn't lift until later on.
I wonder if that has something to do with it, too. You know, Dallas able to take advantage of limited fan capacity.
Oh, I'm sure it helps.
You know what I'm saying?
It probably helps.
And then they get home, and I'm going to guess in Dallas, Texas, probably a lot of fans were there.
Yeah, it was tough.
I admit, didn't watch. Not a big fan of watching lately, but... And then... You know, my time's occupied, but I wonder if that has something to do with it. They're looking forward to getting back to the Staples Center with limited fans. Like, okay, we can get in there and take advantage of a non-home court advantage.
Yeah, I mean, they did.
As far as the fans are concerned.
They did in the first two games.
Sure.
I mean, one would think that you couldn't wait to get back home up 2-0 with the raucous fan, you know, everybody rocking, but maybe that helped fuel the Clippers. On the Lakers side of things, tonight, game five, pivotal game five in that series, between the Lakers and the Suns. As I mentioned, Chris Paul came back, played well in game four to even the series 2-2. Anthony Davis, there's no guarantee that he's playing, much less any sort of guarantee that he might be anywhere near 100%. He's listed as day-to-day. Is it as simple as if Anthony Davis can play, the Lakers win? If he can't, they lose? Or are we underselling what LeBron James is able to do?
I think at this point in LeBron's career, he needs that help. I don't know if
in the form
can.
Of winning the whole thing, winning the series. He can clearly just win one game by himself.
Sure.
At times, he still has that ability.
But winning the series,
long run wise,
yeah, long run, or get even if they do advance in the series, if Davis is ruled out or even not even 100%, I think that's going to be very tough as the competition gets better for LeBron James to try to carry the load. But go back and look. I'll go look at the history of LeBron James. He's always needed. He's always been. He's a great player. We've never really diminished that, but he's always needed that help. He couldn't get it done in Cleveland as a solo act, so he went to Miami, famously. And then when he came back to Cleveland, he had, Kyrie? So he's always kind of had that wingman. Mm-hmm. And shoot, Michael Jordan even had that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Scottie Pippen. So I don't – traditionally, one guy can't carry the load.
No.
Someone else is going to have to step up. I don't know who that can be.
Yeah, because it feels like with Davis out there, then Dennis Schroeder's more effective, then Kyle Kuzma's more effective, just because of all the tension the defense has to pay to LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But with Davis's left groin, that's one of those injuries also that just kind of doesn't go at this time. Of course, there's always that saying that everybody's got a little bit of something wrong with them by this time of the season, which is probably true too. But that's one of those lingering things. And even looking forward, even if Phoenix isn't able to pull this off, winning game four to make the series 2-2 to stretch it out to at least six games, while Portland and Denver are already at 2-2, if you're the Lakers, good and well on going into game four, they're thinking, get this, be up 3-1. That other series is tied 2-2. Now maybe we can benefit from a little bit of extra rest by ending this thing quickly. Now that's not happening. You're at least to game six, if not to game seven. And in a game seven on Phoenix's home floor, there's no guarantee that the Lakers are moving on. I don't think there's that – I don't think the chances of a complete meltdown, blow up the team, really exist for the Lakers like they do the Clippers. But it sure is an interesting difference right now heading into – what'll be game fives in both series, how much different the feel is from Friday, the last time we talked, to today with the way those series have changed.
Absolutely. And how about on the other side with Embiid going down?
Yeah.
I know that's probably a big reason Washington, they took advantage of it to win, but what's his status?
Yeah, they're going to beat Washington no matter
what.
They'll
get by Washington, but then – you got a red-hot Atlanta team that's on the verge of advancing. And then without Embiid, it's hard to see them beating Milwaukee if that's who they get.
Or Brooklyn.
Or definitely Brooklyn, yeah.
Man, I'm excited. I hope Brooklyn-Milwaukee is actually a good series.
Oh, I see seven games, actually.
I hope it's a good series. I hope it's not one of those things that we think is going to be good.
And then it's a
4-1. And then 4-1. Those three just beat the hell out of them.
Right.
Which that exists. That possibility exists. What do they have?
But Milwaukee looks so good against last
Miami.
Year's runner-up.
Yeah. How much of Miami was just handling the bubble?
Well, just like Phoenix.
Last year,
Phoenix had a few more wins before the shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
They
won all eight games.
They won all eight games before the playoffs started in the bubble. They seem to handle it better.
They seem to carry over, though. Like they never got back on track this year at all.
They prefer to be at Disney World.
Man, and they look like they were the team coming up.
Didn't they?
But all the young pieces, the heroes, and everybody else.
Well, it didn't help, and I've always been high on Oladipo. It didn't help that he
He got hurt.
He got hurt, and he was done.
You know what happens to Oladipo a lot of times?
He gets hurt.
Yep. I mean, that's just certain guys are that way. Yep. NBA, excuse me, NBA playoffs. Nearing the end of the first round. All right, I mentioned in the opening, this could be one of the greatest weeks, the potential for one of the greatest weeks in the history of anything Bedlam. Why do I say that? Well, both teams qualified for the Women's College World Series. That's going to be in Oklahoma City. So that obviously helps that venue with crowds and the way that that's going to be. And if there's a way that those two teams can at least play once, if not all the way into that final series, what an incredible atmosphere that would be. Just incredible. But both teams handled their business. Oklahoma State went to three games, but ended up beating Texas. OU got past a Washington team that probably everyone thought was going to be a little bit tougher than what it turned out to be, especially in that 9-1 game 2 win. And so those two are on a collision course for Friday. If both can win the first game, there they are Friday night, Hall of Fame Stadium, Bedlam softball in the College World Series. And no matter the result of that one, that's going to set up an opportunity for the other one to go to the other side of the bracket, whoever loses that game, and get back through to the championship series against their Bedlam foe. I mean, that event is so cool anyway, especially when one of those two teams are there, for both of them to be there. And it honestly feels like both of them have a legitimate chance to win the national title. It's going to be awesome. you hope it happens at least once, because it's just going to be an awesome atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah. It's so cool. Like you said, when both teams are in it, one or the other, you know, obviously history tells you OU's been there a lot, and the fans show up for it, and OSU fans, they will show up too. So if they're both playing each other, it's going to be sprinkled with crimson and cream and black and orange. It's going to be a lot of fun. I really hope that's the case. Got to take care of business, OSU, especially against Georgia's. OU fans know Georgia's a team you better take seriously. And hopefully that's something we get more than once in OKC.
Yeah, I mean,
I want it four times.
You know, I mean, it would be so awesome. Think about that, a game three in the title series.
On a Tuesday, a week from tonight.
A week from tonight.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. That'd be really
fun. Bedlam softball for the title. Georgia, you mentioned them. I think I read they were the first unseeded team in the history of women's softball to make it to Oklahoma City in the Women's College World Series?
I had not heard that, but that wouldn't shock me. Did they get in before James Madison, I guess?
Yeah, I think they won the game before James Madison
like,
did.
Like 30 minutes before?
Yeah. James Madison knocked off Mizzou. So that would be OU's opponent first, right?
Sure. James Madison. Yes, that's right. They actually,
Georgia plays OSU. I'm looking for a bracket. I should have had this.
It's OU, OU James Madison at 11. They start things off on Thursday, followed immediately by OSU Georgia. So it's going to be OU and OSU back-to-back. So
first unseeded team since 2012.
2012, okay.
Yeah, I knew I'd seen something about that. Now, here's the question. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been to the Women's College World Series?
I've never been. I've always wanted to go. I almost pulled the trigger on tickets. I just don't know what my weekend looks like this weekend.
Right.
With tournaments and stuff. It's. You know, I really... Is 7 old enough to take a kid? Is 7-year-old... I think so.
Yeah, I would too.
I really want my kid to experience that, and I want to experience it. So, you know, win-win, right? I have not experienced it. Have you?
No, because I'm wondering, okay.
I feel ashamed because we live in Oklahoma. This great event is in our state. You know, it's kind of one of those things, like we always go out of state to experience the cool stuff when we got great stuff right here, and this is one of them. This is it. Even if OU's not in it, I still kind of want to go.
Anybody that's ever been there says it's just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a great atmosphere. A lot of stuff happening outside of the stadium, and it's a full-on event.
So it looks like to me, like you said, those games are back-to-back, noon and 2:30. So, you know, you think about, is it a session thing?
Yes, it is.
But they're in the same session.
Yes.
Okay, so this begs the question. Okay, we know – the stands are going to be clad with crimson and orange.
Mm-hmm.
Do the other ones, no matter, say the first game, do the folks in orange and black root for James Madison? and vice versa in the second game. Do they want to play each other again as bad as we want them to?
Great question. Listen, 10 years ago,
there's no way they root. Like, there's no way that either fan base is rooting for the other team, right?
Some will, sure. Some will. Some will root for the other team, right? Maybe for the for the main fact of we want Bedlam. You know, OSU knows they can beat OU. They've done it once. So, you know, and then they know how big that is for the state and for both schools. It'd be really cool to see. But others, no. There's going to be a lot of people who want James Madison to win.
Yeah, I don't think that.
People love the underdog.
You can say, those are easy kind of things to say. We want to beat the best.
You think?
No, you don't. No matter who you are, that's just not true. And when the Bedlam rivalry is injected, I think those two teams, James Madison in game one, Georgia in game two, are going to have a little bit of extra boost from the Bedlam crowd, whichever one is playing the other.
I'll put it like this.
How about this? Here's an interesting thing. Who would have ever thought? For OU... No, if they can win, I guess it doesn't make any difference if they win or lose. You're 50-2, and you're going to play a team that beat you. Okay. What are the odds of that? You get to the College World Series,
either way,
you win
a
game, and you're going to play. If you win the first game, the next game is going to be against one of the two teams that beat you.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah,
and
that's really
50-2,
and you're guaranteed to play a team that beat you
out of all the teams. Well, hey, you know they can hang their hat on, on those two losses. And say we lost to two teams that made it to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean that's there too for sure.
Yeah, and maybe those losses turn around. And either way, you can go into that game going, okay, time to get you back.
Yeah,
you beat us then. We're going to beat you when it counts now.
It'd be super cool.
So many storylines. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Be super, super
cool. On the other side, UCLA, the 2 seed, they're beatable. Virginia Tech ended up making it.
After losing game one to Virginia Tech. And then Bama. It feels like those two have the best two pitchers, maybe?
Yeah.
Coming? Or,
in this tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the knock on OU was... They didn't have a clear-cut dominant pitcher, but man, what's her name? Sale?
She was good.
She was really
good. So was Nicole May in game one.
Yeah.
Fired a true freshman out there.
Yeah.
So that's the softball part of Bedlam that's possible this week. Now out in Phoenix, the men's college golf tournament has reached the match play portion of the tournament. And they're out there right now playing. So Oklahoma State ended up the second seed after the four rounds of stroke play. They're playing Vanderbilt. It's early. The most holes that any of the matches have played is 5, and they're exactly tied. They're up in 2 matches, down in 2 matches, and one of the matches is tied. So there's 2 rounds today, finals tomorrow. So you win this morning, you play this afternoon against another team, you win that, finals are tomorrow. Oklahoma is there as well, as OU ended up the 4th seed. They are playing Illinois, and they are down right now. They've just played 2 holes, the furthest that the matches have gone. They're down in 2, up in 1, and 2 haven't teed off yet. Quade Cummins probably just has teed off from Weatherford. He ended up tied 3rd in the medal portion, which was a really, really good finish for Quade, obviously. Interesting, though, Garrett Reband, who has been, just like Quade, a stalwart on that team for years, dating clear back to the 2017. I can't remember if he played on that team. I know he was there, just like Quade was, when mm-hmm. they beat Oregon for the national title. He's been in the lineup consistently for 5 years now, counting this COVID year. And you look at the OU lineup right now, he struggled in stroke play big time. He is not playing. Patrick Welch, who was replaced by Ben Lorenz, a freshman, after the first round of the regional tournament last week, in which OU struggled and had to fight tooth and nail just to get into this national tournament. This is an unbelievably gutsy decision by head coach Ryan Hibble, in my mind. I understand with Reban, he did not play well in the stroke play at all. He was bad.
Right.
But, man, all that experience is replaced by a guy that was also replaced just a week ago because he wasn't playing good.
Well, I mean, what's the old
saying? The feel of the coach, for sure. I mean,
got to go with a hot hand, right?
But that's the problem. Was there a hot hand?
Hmm.
Or was there just a couple of cold hands
that
you're picking out of? His rebound was 26 over par in four rounds. Finished up yesterday with an 80. I think, 75 was his best score. A couple of 75s, a 76, and an 80. That's, for this level of golf, that's not acceptable. And so, it was just interesting. By the way, I said tied third. Quade tied sixth is what he ended up. Tied sixth. Oh. So anyhow, it's one that you can set yourself up to take some criticism if you're Ryan Hibble. But at the same time, he's the one that knows his players, and it's an easy decision when you look at the scores that Reban shot. But it's a tough decision when you think about what he's done in situations just like this.
Yeah.
Over his career at OU.
Yeah. It's interesting, but like I said, I think he's going with who has the hottest hand and who has the best chance of maybe getting past this first match play.
Yeah, and it's hard to fire a guy out there that just shot 80 yesterday.
Can you reinsert him?
Now that is a fantastic question.
Like if they get past Illinois, can he be reinserted?
I would assume so, because you have the ability to make. But you know what though? Once you make that choice, maybe that's it. That is a great question. I'll have to look up because I don't know exactly the way that works.
Yeah.
On the OSU side, Bo Jen was the medalist. Ended up second, I'm sorry, behind Clemson, a player from Clemson. He led pretty much the whole way and then kind of struggled yesterday, but ends up second. Their team, OSU's played as good a golf as anybody this spring. They struggled in the fall and you kind of wondered what was up. Man, they've put it together. And coming in, a lot of people had them as the favorite because of the way they played, especially over the last month and a half or 2 months. So hopefully we get Bedlam in that as well. And that would be in the finals of the golf in the match play tomorrow if they can both survive and advance through today.
Yeah, you kidding me? Bedlam for a national title?
Bedlam for a national title. Possible in two sports in the same week.
That is awesome. That would be
the only thing better would be if they were playing somewhere in Oklahoma on the golf course.
Oh yeah,
you know, because that's what we're getting possibility of in the softball.
That'd be cool if like at Southern Hills or Oak Tree or something like that.
Oh, absolutely,
that'd be amazing.
Yeah, it was at Carson a few years ago,
right?
That Oklahoma State took home the title, beat OU on the way,
right? Yes, that would be awesome.
Yeah, is it? If it happens, is it the greatest week in the history of Bedlam anything?
At this point, yeah. If it happens. The only thing that would trump that is Bedlam basketball for the title.
Yeah.
Or
somehow play each other in the college football playoff or something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, that's what's crazy.
Now, let me ask you this. What if, let's just hypothetical here, let's say all that happens this week, and then football season plays out, and all of a sudden, hey, looks like OU and OSU are playing for the Big 12 title for a right to get to the playoffs. Would that be bigger than this? A conference title bigger than national titles?
No, but yes, because of the sport.
Exactly.
You can't convince any of those golfers or any of the softball players that it's bigger. Because they played for their sports national championship.
There are a lot of fans right now.
Fan-wise.
Yeah, there are a lot of fans, both OU and OSU, who have no idea what's going on in golf and softball.
For, especially golf. I mean, I think the softball is mainstream enough. And because it's here.
Turned into that.
And it's going to be in Oklahoma City. I think that helps get the awareness out a little bit.
Right.
I would be surprised if 35% of the fan base knows that they're playing golf right now.
Right.
You know, there's obviously diehards on both schools that do know. But, yeah, it's not it, notoriety-wise, no. Playing in Jerry World for the conference football title would be about as big as it could get.
Right.
Especially with a spot in the playoffs on the line.
Right. One team comes in undefeated, other team one loss to the other team. Yeah, it'd be huge.
Chance at two?
Yeah.
Both of them making the playoff? That'd be crazy.
That would be awesome.
All right, so I mentioned this Naomi Osaka story.
Yeah.
And there's more coming out about it as we go along. But her older sister, Mari, has just wrote a post on Reddit explaining how, you know, kind of explaining what she's doing.
What her sister's doing.
To avoid the media, yeah, and why. It dates back to she lost in the first round of the Italian Open, and it started to get out there that she was bad on clay courts, which the French Open is. And so she was trying to block out the criticism and take everybody out of things, and that's why she didn't want to talk to the media. She herself has mentioned mental health as a part of it. It's interesting to me when you see what's happening in the NBA with these fan-player interactions. And I'm just wondering what's going on. Why is this all of a sudden becoming a thing? How much of it has to do with fans being gone for so long?
I think it's a big part of it.
You know, how much does it have to do, you know, getting back out? How much does it have to do, quite frankly, how much does it have to do with fans are upset at the players for the way that they have treated different things that are important to people in this country, i.e. kneeling for the national anthem, all the different, you know, I know a ton of people that'll tell you they haven't watched a second of it since the bubble and the way that all of that was, that all went down with the stuff on the jerseys, on the court, you know, all that. So how much is it that there's some anger coming out from fans toward the players because some of that stuff is happening? And how much is it just the, you know, East Coast? Because if you look at these, it's been in New York, it's been in Boston, it's been in Washington, and it's been in Philly. So how much of it is just that area?
Yeah.
Traditionally, kind of.
Even before, they've always
a little bit rough.
Rough fans, yeah.
But here's what I notice from a media standpoint. They rush to the defense immediately and do not question anything when it's concerning the NBA players. Fans are wrong. No matter what the player, I mean, there's players out there that have literally, the way that they've taken stances on different issues, have basically said, without coming out and saying it, you fans are idiots for what you might believe because you don't believe like us. I mean, and that's another thing that makes people mad. So it's unquestioned loyalty to the NBA players. But then when Naomi Osaka does what she did for her own mental health, there's nobody taking up for her. They're lambasting her because they're not getting what they want, media-wise. I just think it's a really interesting difference right now because it's kind of some stuff that we really haven't seen. A rash of this stuff in the NBA versus, you know, you see from time to time, if you watch golf especially, you know, so-and-so plays bad on Saturday or Sunday, they decline to speak with the media. But that's a rash decision right then because of how they played right then. Mm-hmm. Whereas Osaka made this known prior to any of it starting. And all you heard was, I can't believe she's doing that. You know, Roland Garros, the tournament itself was going to fine her $15,000 every time she didn't show up. And also maybe even get to the point where they basically disqualified her from the tournament because she wouldn't speak to the media. And now she has won her first match and withdrew. She is the second-ranked women's tennis player, the highest earner in women's athletics worldwide at almost $38 million a year.
I would have never known that.
I wouldn't have either until I read that article. And the difference in the portrayal of her for what seems to be a great reason, her own mental health, versus the way that the NBA players are always taken up for, no matter, and I'm not saying they even do have culpability with what's happening with the fans, you know, but they might, but that question's not even asked.
Right.
Why is this happening? No, nobody even bothers to ask the questions, why is this happening? Now, I would probably lean more to like you. I think just with the way people, especially up there. I mean, you think about the Northeast, locked down.
Right.
For 12 to 15 months. Differently than here.
Strict curfew.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
And so when you're back out, maybe you drink too many, or you're just excited to be back out. Or maybe in a year you kind of forget social norms.
Sure.
And theirs were different than ours anyway.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting how this is all being put out there and portrayed. When one person is seemingly doing everything for the right reasons, and a whole bunch of other guys really haven't.
Yeah, I agree. It's hypocrisy at its best from the media. And it's a head scratcher. It's confusing. Why one way and what, you know, why doesn't it apply the other way? Totally.
Couldn't you almost make the, I mean, a lot of those same people will scream and yell about women's rights when the conversation of, you know, the transgender athletes competing against the women. I mean, they will stand up and scream. As soon as that happens. But what about, are we not kind of infringing on Naomi Osaka's rights?
It's her right.
You know,
to choose the first, player.
You know, it's all about free speech until that speech costs you and isn't free to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Just interesting, I thought, the way that those NBA events are just popping up at the same time that this is happening. And it's the reaction towards what happened here, what's happening there.
Yeah. I'm sad we're out of time because I had a really good story that just came to my mind, and I can't tell it.
Keep it for tomorrow.
It's going to be hard. I'm going to tell you it off air.
Okay.
It just came in my mind. Dang it. I should have told this story.
OU struggling early in the golf. OSU Vanderbilt tied. But they're just now kind of three or four holes in, as many as six. So long way to go. We'll recap that tomorrow. Lots of other stuff. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.